welcome to the 2014 episode of the Disney Parks Podcast, the first of many this year, we hope. Disney Parks Podcast is your source for Disney Parks news and information from the Disney parks around the globe and so much more. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Krista Joy, and I come to you from DisneyWays.com. Park Hopper Sid from www.parkhoppers.com has taken a new role in our podcast team, and she will be coming back occasionally as a guest host. We're sad that she will be unable to join us for every show, but we're excited for her as she takes on some new wonderful opportunities, and we look forward to having her back to visit the show soon. Joining me as always is Mr. Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com.
Welcome to 2014.
Yay!
Now, does everybody say 2014 or 2014? What's the right way of saying that?
I don't know. I think it's a tomato-tomato type thing.
All
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Tony, will you kick us off with your quote of the week?
I do have a quote this week, and it is, "Oh, that clock. Old Killjoy, I hear you. Come on, get it," you say. "Time to start another day. Even if he orders me around, well, there's one thing. They can't order me to stop dreaming." If you know the movie and the person who said that, or one or the other, send us an email at thecrew@disneyparkspodcast.com. And we did have a winner from last week who, I don't have that person's name in front of me, but I will make sure that we get it in the show notes. And we are going to send her a little token of our appreciation for sending us her correct answer. So here's our little advert, as we always do in the show. The Disney Parks Podcast is proud that we've partnered with Destinations in Florida. They are a Florida-based travel agency with offices here in the sunshiny, little bit chilly these days, Orlando, Florida. And they specialize in Disney and Universal Studios and Orlando Vacations. So if you are planning a trip or thinking about planning a trip, make sure to give Destinations in Florida a call at 877-241-8863. And make sure that you get them to help you plan your vacation, your dining reservations, whatever you need for your Central Florida vacation. So once again, Destinations of Florida, 877-241-8863. All right, let's start with some news in the queue. This is, you know, Tables of Wonderland is one of my favorite discount programs Disney has. I love this program. But as of lately, they've been really driving me crazy. You know, between raising prices and taking things away and changing things, they're really starting to drive me nuts with this program. I now need, like, to carry the app on my phone so I can figure out what's in, what's out, and where I can eat, and when I can eat, and how I can eat there. So here's the summary of some of the changes that are coming very soon. First of all, Victoria and Albert's will honor Tables of Wonderland only through July 31st, 2014. And then as of August 1st, the restaurant will no longer participate in Tables in Wonderland. Now, that's a pretty big deal because this is a pricey place to eat, and to get, you know, 20% off is a pretty good deal. So that's now off the table. No pun intended. Then, this gets worse, kids, so buckle up. Beginning August 1st, 1900 Park Fair, Chef Mickey, Ohana for dinner only, Cinderella Royal Tabor, Ashker Royal Banquet Hall, Le Cellier will be subject to additional blackout dates. So these restaurants will now have blackout dates that will include November 23rd through the 29th of 2014, December 21st through December 27th of 2014, March 8th through April 4th, 2015, and then May 31st through June 20th, 2015. So that's a lot of weird dates. And probably the weird dates that stand out the most to me is this May 31st to June 20th. I'm thinking that this is part of the really the peak season. It's the end of the school year. Everybody kind of heads to vacation. The other ones I get, we have Thanksgiving week, Christmas, and spring break. Those I get. It's the May 31st to June 20th that I just can't wrap my little head around. Also, just to remind you of the other lovely blackout dates. So there's no Tables in Wonderland on Mother's Day, Easter Sunday, Independence Day, Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. All gone. So those are the new changes starting in August and some other dates this year. And some new restaurants having these crazy blackout dates. So if you are coming down here and, you know, you maybe buy your Tables in Wonderland just before your trip, take this into consideration now. Take these restaurants into consideration because they may have, you know, now changed your dining plans on your next Disney trip.
Right on.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a little more news that might be kind of a bummer, but after this, we're going to get to the happy stuff. we promise. But we wanted to let you guys know the Magic Kingdom crane is going to be doing its thing, working on the castle until late March. Some people really don't like having the crane in their pictures of the castle, so that's why we wanted to let you know this information ahead of time. The reason the crane is up is because they'll be doing, it's going to be to remove the dream lights, so that's the Christmas lights that are up right now, and they're also going to perform some other routine maintenance such as painting and stuff like that. So the good news is we'll have a beautiful fresh new castle, you know, repainted when all this is done. But from now until March 27th, the cranes are going to be showing up in your pictures of the castle. So we wanted to let you know that.
Yeah. The crane's been in a lot of pictures lately with the Seven Mine Train and the castle.
True.
Maintenance. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you know, chance to practice your Photoshop skills. Yeah. All good. Yeah.
It's the year of the crane. Right?
It's limited time magic.
Yeah, it's limited time crane. Also, we have some stuff going on with the monorail. You know, this has been going around, and once again, we have some operational changes coming. So beginning January 21st, the monorail service on the Magic Kingdom Resort and express beams will be temporarily unavailable on weekdays during non-peak times, which Disney considers between 11:30 a.m. and 7 o'clock p.m. There'll be no monorail. So, you know, make sure that you plan some other way of getting around. During the temporary schedule adjustment beginning January 21st, through the end of March 2014, watercraft and additional buses will be available to transport guests to their destinations, but the Epcot beam will continue normal operations. I think it has to be done, and there's probably a couple reasons they're doing this. One is I heard they are trying to catch up with maintenance on a lot of the monorail trains. And the second thing I heard was they need to be moving equipment over to the poly, over to the construction area, and they need to, I think, you know, kind of cross under or over the beam where the monorail is, and they don't want to do that while the monorails are operational. So
wow.
Those are the two things I heard. So
yeah, both likely causes, it sounds like.
Yeah, so if you like riding the monorail during the day, that's off the table during the weekdays, at least. Now you're limited to Saturdays and Sundays. All right.
Yep. All right. So we also wanted to talk about the exciting new Festival of Fantasy Parade. A Maleficent float has joined the team of floats. The Disney Parks blog teased the new Festival of Fantasy Parade with some mystery photos last week. And this week, they revealed a first look at this impressive addition representing Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty. It's shown as an enormous steampunk-inspired dragon. It's very mechanical looking with glowing green eyes, probably smoke and that kind of stuff too going on, I'm sure. But it looks awesome, and we're super excited for the new parade. So we wanted to share with you the new float that was revealed.
Yeah, it looked very cool and very interesting. And we should remind people that we are having a meet on March 16th. I think it was the day.
Mm-hmm.
Just in time for the parade, which hopefully will be the premiere of the parade, we hope. I'm sure there'll be some soft openings ahead of time. I also heard that they are doing some test runs at night of the new parade. So that should be interesting. And I've also heard that they're still doing some rehearsal of the, you know, the dancers that are in between, you know, the floats. There have been some rehearsals, ongoing rehearsals of those dancers. So
cool.
Yeah, so it's all going to happen soon. It'll be good. It's the first time I've ever seen a new parade come online that, you know, that I won't be coming down on vacation. I'll actually get to, I saw one retire and one start up, which will be the first time for me. So
yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Over in Epcot, there is a new, I guess we can call it a restaurant. I'm calling this, it's a restaurant slash quick service. It's not like you have to get up and order it yourself, but it's kind of tapas-style, mini-bite little eatery. And it's over in Morocco, and this is called Spice Road Table. We can't say it's officially open, because that has not really happened.
Had it to opened today.
It did officially?
Yes. Today's January 20th. They were recording this, and the Disney Parks blog just announced it officially opened today. So.
Okay.
Breaking news.
Yep. I was there on Saturday. I was there Saturday night, and it wasn't official yet. So I did have a chance to read there. It's very nice. We got seated immediately. I mean, we said, you know, four, and we sat down. I was like, okay, am I in Disney? Because that's never happened.
Yeah. Remember when Fantasyland first was doing soft openings and you could go and be our guest and see it all empty and stuff because nobody really knew it was open yet?
Right.
Good times.
Yeah. yeah, that doesn't happen now. They can't even get in there at all.
Right.
So Mo Rockin's kind of moved. They got a new location. There's a new juice bar serving some other beverages outside that they moved from one side to the other side. And then the store is still kind of in the same place. The henna tattoo thing is still there. It's in a little different area. It's right next to the juice bar in between the little gift shop. So the place has 120 outdoor terrace seats and then 60 seats inside. And here's my tip. Go there at 8 o'clock-ish. Because this place has awesome views of the lagoon for illuminations. If you're inside, they have floor-to-ceiling windows. And if you're outside, well, you're outside, and you have a unobstructed view most places. There's a couple of poles in the way, but that's not going to really distract from illuminations. You can have a drink. You can have a little bite to eat. And, you know, really enjoying illuminations with some food and a beverage. I think this place is going to be packed at night for illuminations. This place is going to be rocking at night. So, you know, I guess you could go there earlier and table squat, you know. But if you do that, you know, make sure you tip the server because you are, you know, possibly taking money or revenue out of their pockets. They have a lot of great drinks there. They have wine. They have sangria. They have a red wine flight. They got a white wine flight. And we had almost everything on the menu. There was four of us, and each one of us ordered something, and then we ordered something else. It's a little, I can't say it's pricey. It's less than a meal, less than an entree, but a little bit more than an appetizer. But everything we had was really good. There was not anything that we ordered that was, you know, really bad. The lamb slider, I think, was a favorite. I did not participate in the lamb slider, but it was one of everybody's favorites. So.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yep, and they're open from 11 a.m. till park close. So that also includes lunch, which is not a bad thing, too. So go check it out. It's a new place. They are not taking a dining plan right yet, and they are not taking tables on Wonderland, and they are also not taking reservations. So hopefully some of that will change. Maybe they'll do the snack for the dining plan. Hopefully they'll take tables in Wonderland, and hopefully they'll take reservations. But I have a feeling if they do, everybody's going to want to have the 8 o'clock p.m. reservation slot.
Mm-hmm. So, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, in other news, leaders from Walt Disney Parks and Resorts and Lightstorm Entertainment have kicked off the largest expansion in Disney's Animal Kingdom history with a ceremonial groundbreaking for the park's new Avatar-inspired land with blue Navi-inspired shovels. The area, which is being designed by Walt Disney Imagineering in partnership with Avatar creator James Cameron and Lightstorm Entertainment, will be unlike anything ever experienced at a Disney park. Guests will experience the wonderful wonders of Pandora when they fly with banshees and explore a rich natural environment with mountains that float and interactive plants that glow at night. This expansion is just the first step in a larger expansion for the park that will also include the debut of a new evening spectacular as well as a nighttime version of Kilimanjaro Safaris. It's going to be great.
Okay, Krista, why don't you tell them of the missed opportunity you had?
Which one?
The one with Joe Rohde.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Sarah Norris, shout out to Sarah Norris of Gluten Free Dairy Free at Walt Disney World, and I we met up over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And as we were getting on the elevator, she kind of peeked around the corner and saw inside one of the restaurants a guy sitting there with a big earring. And if you know, Joe Rohde is one of the Imagineers. He's a big wig over at Animal Kingdom, especially. He's designed some of their major attractions. So as we got on the elevator, she started to tell me this. And I was like, really? You think that might have been him? She's like, yeah, I think that might have been him. So we're in the lobby. And she's like, okay, just let me check Twitter really quick and see if he's tweeted anything about being here. So we're in the lobby at Animal Kingdom trying to get internet so we can see if maybe Joe Rohde is in the house, right? So she can't really get it to work. We waited a while, and I'm like, Sarah, let's just go back. Let's just go back down there and see, you know, if it was him and we don't say something, we're going to kick ourselves. So she's like, all right, you know. So we get back on the elevator and go back down, and we look in there, and he's all alone. All I saw was the back of this man with a brown jacket on. I didn't see the earring and stuff. So, and he's at this big table, and he's all alone. And so I'm thinking, that can't be him. Why would he be sitting there by himself, you know? So I'm like, I don't think it's him. Let's get back on the elevator. Well, as we're in the elevator, she tells me, well, I think that was the chef's table. And yeah, it's not unusual that he could be alone like that. And we were like, oh man, maybe we should have just went in and said hello. So we didn't say hello. We missed this wonderful opportunity. And of course, you know, we've been kicking ourselves ever since. But hopefully we'll run into him again. I'm sure he'll be around with Avatar Land and all that stuff going on. So we think we saw the back of Joe Rohde. That's my story.
Okay. For all of our listeners out there, raise your hand. If you have seen a person that looked like Joe Rohde, would you have gone up and said hello?
Right.
Okay, that's all of us, Krista.
Yes, I know. It's shameful. And I'm like, Sarah, don't tell Tony because he's going to freak out because we didn't talk to him.
Listen, I'd bump into anybody that I think is, you know, Joe Rohde. I'm definitely saying hello. The worst that the person can say is, I'm not Joe Rohde. Well, who the hell are you? Get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, yeah, so we're regretting that one. But anyway, yeah, well, moving on. More Disney news. Real news coming up.
Yeah. All right. Some more Fast Pass. Listen, this is going to be a reoccurring theme for 2014. You're going to hear a lot of Fast Pass stuff, kids. So this is going to be, you know, the year of the Magic Band, Fast Pass Plus, Memory Maker. It's all going to, you know, hopefully end this year. Hopefully everything will come online, it'll all be live, and we can, you know, finally go back to normal stuff. But they did a new test of the FastPass Plus service, which began at the Magic Kingdom on January 14th. And this test was to allow all guests visiting the Magic Kingdom, including those not staying at Walt Disney World Resort hotels, to be able to make 3 FastPass selections for the current day at the theme park using the FastPass Plus kiosk service. So this was the first time that they were allowing non-WDW resort guests to try and use the FastPass Plus system. So they're trying to really test the system and tax the system to see, you know, can it handle these loads of, you know, all resort guests plus now off-site guests. And this was made throughout the duration of the test for the Magic Kingdom Park. I've also heard rumors that possibly when the system does go live, that off-site resort guests, meaning that you're not staying at a WDW resort, but something, off Disney property, that you may be able to buy the FastPass Plus service as an addition to your ticket. So that's a rumor. I don't know that to be true yet. I've tried asking a few people and nobody is speaking. And we'll have to see, you know, what's going to happen to non-WDW resort guests, because I don't think Disney wants to leave them out, but I don't think they want to include them because of the way the system is going to be overloaded and used. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, well, I hope that's incorrect. Right now, if you've stayed in a Disney resort and you're an annual pass holder, you can log in at any time with your good old Magic Band and pick some FastPass Plus rides in advance of your day. I know this because I've done it already. So I think that's pretty cool that that's available, at least for now. I mean, I know there's the other park, which we shall not name, that does something like that, where you can pay extra money and, you know, kind of get privileged service on every ride or whatever. So I think that's a likely rumor, but I don't know if that's really something, a road that Disney's going to go down. I guess only time will tell, but yeah. Anyway.
Well, I will mention this about the unnamed park. I heard about the unnamed park. That they are going to be getting rid of their 2-day ticket, or their one park, 1-day ticket. What they're doing is really they're going to combine it, and it's going to be you're going to get both parks for one price. But the thing with that is, I think they are going to break the $100 barrier once they do that, and that's going to pave the way for some interesting ticket pricing here in Orlando.
Wow.
So we'll have to see what happens with that. I have a feeling that's going to come online when the unnamed movie attraction happens. Once that gets close to happening, I think we'll see a ticket price change there.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that's another rumor flying around the interwebs.
Yeah, there's lots of them. So, in real news, though, we have our food truck news over at Downtown Disney West Side. The new Disney food trucks showcase favorite dishes from Disney parks around the world. From decor to savory culinary creations, each of the 4 trucks is themed to be distinctly Disney. Home to the Downtown Disney area, the 4 can be found in the Downtown Disney West Side on Wednesdays through Saturdays from 5 to 11 p.m. So here are the 4 trucks and what they've got. So the first one is the Superstar Catering Truck, which they're calling the favorite of the stars of Disney's Hollywood Studios. This truck will feature hearty meatball variations, a spinach and feta beef meatball sandwich, turkey sausage, and golden raisin meatballs on polenta. There'll be a lamb flatbread, and for kids or kids at heart, they're going to have meatball sliders. The next one's the Fantasy Fair Truck. This is bright red. It's going to have a down-home look and will boast delightful dishes from Disney's Magic Kingdoms around the world. And yes, everyone's excited. This is the place that will dish out the legendary hand-dipped Disneyland corn dogs. In addition, a croquet monsieur with homemade chips from Magic Kingdom's Be Our Guest restaurant, a glass noodle salad with chicken and pickled veggies from Hong Kong Disneyland will also further tempt your appetite. Then they'll have the Namaste Cafe truck, which they're saying tasty explorations from Disney's Animal Kingdom is the theme at this colorful truck. Designed with an Asian influence, guests will enjoy Sanaa-inspired food. And including that is going to be butter chicken. So that sounds interesting. They'll have slow-cooked beef short ribs and tandoori spiced shrimp. All dishes will be served with basmati rice and pickled veggies and naan. I don't know what that is, but they'll all have that. World Showcase of Flavors Truck is going to be a stop for year-round festival favorites at this truck, showcasing the best of the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. So this is really cool. The menu is going to include, or does include, lobster rolls, pierogies and kielbasa, and grass-fed beef sliders. You can look for a green truck decorated with vintage travel stickers. That'll be your World Showcase of Flavors truck. For all of these, you can expect to pay $8.99 to $16.99 for the creative and tasty eats. Guests utilizing the Disney Dining Plan can also pay with one quick service credit. So it's exciting. Awesome stuff. I can't wait to try the food trucks. Have you been out there yet, Tony?
Yeah, I have, and I have seen them. My only problem is there's no place to stand or eat. Once you get your food, there's, like, no tables or chairs or at least a table to put the food on. Mm. You know, you have to go hunt down a place to sit then. They have them, the ones I saw, I think there was two of them, were over by Cirque du Soleil. When you come out of the newly used parking lot, that's, you know, might as well be in Antarctica. There was two trucks there, but there was two tables. Two. I was like, there's more than, you know, a half a dozen people running around trying to find a place to eat. So I love the truck idea. There's just no place to eat. I wish they'd put some tables or chairs or something. Hmm. That would be the good thing.
Maybe a good Disney by the numbers tip. If you're going with a group, get somebody to hold a bench and then somebody else go order the food. And then when you return, you'll have a place to sit.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there are some, you know, if you go on the side of the House of Blues or behind the House of Blues along the walkway, there are some, you know, benches there. So there is places to sit, but you got to go, you know, hunt them out ahead of time. And it's interesting, the way they're displaying the menu is not like a chalkboard or something. They have these 32-inch panel televisions mounted on the side of the truck, and that's the menu board. They're, you know, you get a sunburn looking at the menu. They're so bright.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
wow.
Yeah. You can't miss these trucks because it's like this glowing bling, bling, bling. They're really cool. I have not eaten at them because, you know, I'm trying to eat vegan, and none of these are really vegan-ish. But I'll have to give them a shot once. Maybe they have something at least vegetarian on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next piece of news, I really can't believe I'm going to say this. I would have never thought I would have ever said there are no glow-to-show ears to be bought in Walt Disney World. And that they are completely sold out until March. I would never in 100 years ever think I would say they're out of ears.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's crazy. Now, what I heard, too, is talking to some cast members, is that Disneyland had sent their supply, and they went through those as well.
Wow.
So, for all I know right now, Disneyland and Disney World are both out of Globe of the Show ears until March. So if you're coming down to Florida or going to California for that matter, and you have a pair of ears, you may want to bring them with you because you will not be able to buy any, at least until March. So
yeah,
that's quite interesting. I'd love to know what that number is. You know,
yeah.
How many they've sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Well, in other news, you can meet Captain America from Captain America, the Winter Soldier, this spring at Disneyland Park in honor of Captain America, the Winter Soldier, which is a movie coming to theaters April 4th. Guests at Disneyland Park in Anaheim will soon have the opportunity to meet the first Avenger in person. Captain America has already been making appearances at Avengers Academy on the reimagined Disney Magic and will be dropping into Disneyland Park starting this spring, where you can also experience continuing favorites Iron Man tech presented by Stark Industries and Thor, Treasures of Asgard. So I got to see Captain America when we went on the Disney Magic, and he's really cool. So I'm excited for everybody over in Disneyland who gets to see him.
Yeah, it's interesting that they're bringing a little Marvel to the park. We really don't have that yet in Florida. No meet and greets of any Marvel people.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, because they did the Iron Man thing over in Tomorrowland, too, at Disneyland. And we haven't gotten anything like that. I don't know why they're keeping it away from this park.
I don't know. They're easing us into it for some reason.
I don't know. Speaking of Marvel, I just saw that Marvel and Huffy Bikes were going to make, I'm using my air quotes, superhero bikes.
Wow.
So you're going to see Captain America, Iron Man, kind of, you know, themed bikes from Huffy. So.
Fun. All right.
Yeah. Well, we saw the Mickey and Minnie ones at D23. And now they're on the internet for you to purchase at the same price, not a reduced price. Apparently, they didn't get rid of the 500 limited edition bikes that they had. So, now's your chance if you want a Huffy-themed Disney bike.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is from our Tokyo Disneyland correspondent, Trish. Now, Trish, you had met Trish, right?
Is that, yes. Yeah, we mentioned it on the last show. Yeah. It was super awesome. I got to meet her. And we missed you and Park Hopper Sid, but hopefully she'll be back sometime. So.
Yeah. Hey, it's just a short trip. It's only from Tokyo.
It's
23 hours. Shouldn't take that long to get here.
Right.
So she writes, "Hey, Disney Parks podcast peeps. I just got back from a trip at WDW, and it was a lot of fun. While I was gone, Tokyo Disneyland was celebrating the new year. You might be wondering how Tokyo Disney Resort celebrates the start of the new year, and I think I have a clue, but we'll let Trish tell us. First of all, all the Christmas decorations have been taken down. This happens overnight right after Christmas, as it does here in Florida. And for New Year's Eve, the resort sells a limited amount of tickets for the countdown party. Very interesting. This is a party where guests can play all night at the parks, and has been going on since 1993. Wow, there you go. In order to buy a ticket, guests must enter a lottery. See, now they ruined the fun. Since the big earthquake, the parties have been toned down, but it seems like this year some of the effects were added, giving guests hope that the big countdown party style from the past might be brought back. So was there an earthquake every New Year's Eve over there?
I don't know. They must have had an earthquake.
I guess. So in the past, these parties were huge. So we'll have to hope Trish gives us an update. At Tokyo Disneyland, they used to combine the parades from all year, making a huge hour-long parade with a show stop and then a countdown to New Year's Eve. Oh, my God, that is a fantastic idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like imagine like Spectrum Magic, Main Street Electrical Parade, and a dream come true all in one parade.
It would blow our minds.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
And then can you, like imagine that it stops so that you can, like, enjoy, you know, some... You know, we really don't think like they do. Also, like Disney Seas, there also would be a comparable show, and guests would also receive souvenir gifts. Yeah, we receive nothing. Such as watches, tote bags, and medals? What the... Holy mackerel. All right, I'm thinking I've never received a watch, a tote bag, or other metal collectible things on any time I've gotten a party ticket at Disney World. There will also be many limited time goods sold only that night. Well, that happens all the time. I really hope to bring the full countdown party back. Remember to follow Trish at Dream Sweets Love on Twitter. So that's Dream Sweets Love on Twitter. And tell Trish that you heard it here on the Disney Parks podcast.
We love you, Trish. Thank you for that. Let's see. And then, oh, there's more. I just put it in a different color. But basically, she also wanted to say on New Year's Day, the park ambassador is introduced and will join the characters from the first New Year's greeting at both parks. For the Japanese New Year's, it's a big holiday for family comparable to Christmas or Thanksgiving in the U.S. It's a week-long holiday for most people and a busy time at the parks. The parks have New Year's goods, menus, and greetings at both parks for the first week of January. Since it's the year of the horse this year, there was merchandise featuring Horace the horse and Bullseye from Toy Story. Okay, so that's all of Trish's news. I apologize, Tony. That was my fault. I separated it. That's the latest from Trish. So thank you, Trish, for sending that. Next, we have news from Laura, our Disneyland Paris correspondent. And here's what Laura had to say. News from Disneyland Resort Paris is that from the now infamous Indiana Jones, the Temple of Peril roller coaster will go under a 5-month refurbishment. The ride's decor and loop on the track will be completely taken down and replaced with more weather-resistant and stronger materials When the ride opened, the structure and decor was made from temporary materials, but has lasted for a while now. But real stone will be used, and improvements to the loop will make the coaster more safe and secure. For now, the ride should open in May or June before the summer season. As well, the soon-to-be new Lego store is still not open due to some construction issues in the Disney Village, which is Paris's downtown Disney. The shop was to be open last September, then around January 15th, but now it is delayed until further notice, and she'll let us know when the store is going to open. Remember to follow Laura at That Disney Lover on Twitter for all the latest in Disneyland Paris news.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting that they use temporary materials and not really build it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
That's probably not something that would happen here. Yeah. So.
Yeah, they would. Well, yes. Hey, I have to thank both of them for giving us this great news because we're not there. Although I'd like to be there, we are not. So, thank you, ladies.
Thank you, ladies, so much. Yeah, we need a Hong Kong correspondent next. Yeah. So, if anybody knows anybody, send us an email. Let us know.
Yeah. Even if you go for a visit and you want to call us and let us know what your trip is like.
Yeah.
You know, you can do that. Email us, and we'd love to have you on the show, and you can talk about, Hong Kong. We should try and have one of them on and tell
definitely.
Us the full-blown, experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to set that up.
Yeah. Okay, so this week we're going to talk about, our little infotainment. And this week we're going to talk about our top three favorite Disney music songs or albums or cassettes or CDs or 8-tracks, whatever you play your Disney music on. And this is hard. I decided to go with top three. I could probably do top 203, and I'd probably not even put a scratch in. I know my music collection and what I listen to Disney music wise, but in the essence of time, let's go. We're going to do the top three for us, but we'd like to hear what you guys listen to. My list is short, sweet, to the point. It's kind of a little crazy eclectic. And looking at Krister's, hers is a little bit eclectic too. But I know, Disney music is a big part of my life. I know when I'm in my car, I listen to it. When I'm working at home, I listen to it. It's in my playlist for, when I exercise. So I think the music in the theme parks is, something that really makes an attraction. Imagine, the Haunted Mansion with no music, or, It's a Small World with no music. How boring would it be to be in that boat looking at those little dolls spinning back and forth?
Right.
All right, the music, you want to kill yourself after you get out, but that's beside the point. It would be very boring without it. So, it really makes the attraction. And, just reflecting back recently, if you take a movie like Frozen, that soundtrack is trending huge on iTunes. Idina Menzel kicked that thing out of the ballpark with that song. That one song, she's got two spots on the iTunes top 10. One for the single and one for the soundtrack. That's how popular that song is. So, you know, Disney and Pixar really, you know, bring these movies to life with song. You know, they're, in a way, it's almost a musical. If you think about it, you know, the way they read the music with the story. You know, Alan Menken and his partner, I can't think of off the top of my head, you know, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, those movies have soundtracks that are really a soundtrack to some people's lives because they're so embedded in, you know, the movie and the attractions and, you know, they're very popular. So, I think music plays a big part in our lives. I know it doesn't mind. I know if John and Sarah were here, they would be saying the same thing. You know? Yes. And I'm sure you'd agree, Krista.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you want to start with your number three?
Okay. The first one I chose is A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes, which is, of course, from Walt Disney's film Cinderella from 1950, composed by Mac David, Al Hoffman, and Jerry Livingston. It's one of my favorites. It's one of the first ones that came to mind when we created our list here. And, of course, it's, you know, it's a beautiful song that encourages us to never stop dreaming. And just like the movie, it's a classic. It'll never go out of style. I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good choice. Good choice. Number three on my list is a movie I had seen. Well, I'm going to date myself as a kid. I don't even know if this has been in the theaters lately. Probably hasn't. But I remember going on a Saturday with my brothers and sisters and possibly my mother. Had taken us to see Jungle Book, and one of my favorite songs in that soundtrack. I really like them all, but the one that really I like the most out of that soundtrack is The Bare Necessities. I think it's got this jazzy pop thing that kind of sticks in your head. You know, I hear the song now, just saying the words Bare Necessities. You know, I can, you know, probably rattle off, you know, the whole chorus, but. I'm not a singer, so I'm not going to do that on this podcast.
Oh.
I know you were getting excited.
Yeah, I thought you were going to sing us a little chorus.
It's not going to happen. but, you know, it's a song that I still enjoy today. You know, I love to listen to all the time. So it's a very cool song.
It is. It's great. And Jungle Book was one of the last movies that Walt, or maybe the last movie that Walt actually worked on. So, yeah, it's definitely got a special place in history. Yeah. My second one was Once Upon a Dream, which is another princess song. Surprise, surprise. But it was actually sung by Princess Aurora and Prince Philip. That one was words and music by Jack Lawrence and Sammy Fain. That movie came out in 1951, if you can believe that. And what I didn't know, I just learned, was that the music was actually based on a theme written by Tchaikovsky, if I'm saying that correctly. But I do remember watching clips of Walt Disney talk about that, how the music in that entire movie is really kind of classically based and all that good stuff. So that's a pretty special song to me. It's a princess song, so.
Yep. Yeah, that's another good song, too.
Yeah. What's your next one?
The next one on my list, and I'm going to date myself, but I'm just going to do it. It doesn't matter. as a younger person, I remember coming home from school, and there was a couple things that I used to watch on television. The Brady Bunch, Batman, and I'm not talking about Batman the movie, I'm talking about Batman the TV show. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of you probably don't even know it was a TV show. And the other thing used to be the Mickey Mouse Club. And this is not with Britney Spears, this is the older Mickey Mouse Club. And the Mickey Mouse March is I love that song. It brings me back to when I was a kid, and that's how the show started. That's how the show ended. And, you know, Cubby and Annette used to sing the song, and, you know, who's the leader of the band? You know, I could sing that whole thing, too, for you, but I'm not going to do it. But that is a great song. It makes me feel like a kid. It, mm-hmm. You know, I just want to run around and, you know, march like they used to do. It's just, you know, get your ear hats out and you know, sit down and watch, you know, this. It was a great kid show. It was a great family show. It was just good times back then. So yeah. I have a lot of fond memories watching that show and hearing that song. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's one of the first songs I ever learned as a child. My mom, you know, would start singing the song, and I guess I would finish it, like, when I was really, really small, like, barely not even talking yet. So, yeah it's a good one.
Yeah.
So, the last one I picked is Part of Your World, which is from, of course, The Little Mermaid. This one was written by Alan Menken and lyricist Howard Ashman, The Little Mermaid was the 28th animated feature that Disney produced. It came out in 1989. And that one is really special to me because it takes me back to, I think it was like church camp where I was just singing. I remember just sitting on the swing set and singing the whole song for everybody to hear because I just, that's what I did back then. And so I love that one. And it's, that movie still has a real special place in my heart. So,
yeah, that album does. The Little Mermaid album does have a lot of great songs on it. And it was Ashman that I couldn't think before when I had mentioned.
Was it him? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. The last song on my list is the comes from a theme park. It's the Main Street Electrical Parade song, and this is based on. I don't know. It's based on an old song called A Baroque Hoedown. B-O-R-Q-U-E. Hoedown. Mm-hmm. And there are some older versions of this. And some of them don't sound as electronic, techno-poppy as the Main Street Electrical Parade. But they do sound kaleidoscope-y. So, you know, these are all very, you know, important adjectives I'm using here. So, if you go on the internet and you Google Baroque Hoedown, you will, you know, get to listen to some of these other versions of the song. Now, this is probably, I don't know, this song, you know, was one of the first things that really stuck out from my first trip to Florida in 76. It was the Main Street Electrical Parade. It was like the last thing I saw before we had to go back to reality. And this parade and this song just really stick in my head. If you watch any of my videos on YouTube, they all start and end with parts of the Main Street Electrical Parade. That's how much I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, it part of my childhood, I guess. And it's stuck with me all these years, so...
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. And you feel that anticipation every single time you hear it. Like, it starts to play and you just remember that feeling you had, that excitement of knowing the parade is almost here and it's coming. Right. It brings all that back. So I think that's an awesome choice.
Yeah. So that's it. That's our top three Disney things that we listen to, our Disney songs. I'm sure that Krista and I can go on for hours with more songs.
Yes.
But we're not going to bore the... years off you with that. Well, it's not on this show. Maybe some other time we can do that. And that's it for this week's show. We want to thank you all for listening to the Disney Parks podcast. If you can, you know, tweet us, go to our Facebook page, go to our website, share this with friends and family, say, hey, you know, try this podcast. You might like it. And then have hopefully those friends share it with other friends. That's how we can, you know, really grow our audience and have some more fun. If you want, you can email us at thecrew@DisneyParksPodcast and tell us, you know, what you think or what you don't think. Or you can give us a call at 407-476-8898 and you can leave us a message. And if you want, we'll use it on the show. If you know some Disney news and rumor, give us a call or email us or put a comment, and we'd love to hear from you. And that's it. We hope to see you in the parks. Call the Disney Parks Podcast at 407-476-8898 to leave a message 24 hours a day. You can also email us questions and comments at thecrew@disneyparkpodcast.com. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/DisneyPK Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, for all you Twitter lovers, at DisneyPK Podcast. Help us out by subscribing to us on iTunes. Rate us, review us, leave us a little note, and we will respond to you there as well. You can also find us on Stitcher Radio On Demand. Visit us at Disney Parks Podcast, where you can find all of our shows, our show notes, and leave us a comment. Join us next Tuesday for more news, rumors from all around the Disney parks, and we'll see you in the parks. I am Tony Casanova from Disney by the Numbers, and I ask that you stop by DisneyByTheNumbers.com, where you can read our news, our blog, see videos, sign up for our newsletter, and check out our photos and all the other good stuff that we have at DisneyByTheNumbers.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/DBTN page. I know that's a little hard, but you can follow us there. You can follow us on Twitter at DBTN. You can find us on YouTube by searching for Disney by the Numbers. You can sign up for our newsletter at DisneyByTheNumbers.com or go out to iTunes and search for WDW DBTN Facts. And you can go out to iTunes and get our iPhone app, which you can use on your iPhone, iPad, and iPod. Check out WDW DBTN Facts on iTunes.
Hi, this is Krista from DisneyWays.com, where our mission includes bringing you exciting Disney news and information that's also sprinkled with Disney Ways treasures you won't find anywhere else. We want to help answer your Disney-related questions. We do post every single day, so we hope you subscribe to our updates by email. We do have monthly prizes for our subscribers, so you're automatically entered just for subscribing, and you'll be kept up to date with our coming events and all the things we have going on at Disney Ways. We can also be found at Twitter at Disney Ways, and we do have a YouTube channel that's a work in progress, but we'd love to have you there too. So check us out on the web.